Hi, Dan.
Hello, Jason.
Oh, it's you and not Stephen Hackett. Oh, interesting.
I got to tell you a funny story. I went to listen to last week's episode, and I was fired up Overcast, and I hit, you know, play, or I can't remember what it was. Anyways, tried to play it, and it's you, and then the person who responded to you was Lex, because the last time I listened to the show was the last time I was gone, because, spoiler, I don't usually listen to the show
right
after I'm done with it.
You already heard it.
And it was the one from, I guess you were going with Lex last year when I was gone.
Uh-huh.
I had forgotten about that. But what amused me about it was that when I finally got Steven's episode in both of those, like, the first thing that you guys talk about is the Surface. And I was like, why is it every time I'm gone, the Surface comes up? I don't know. Seemed strange.
I think it's because you're always above the Surface.
Sure. Resurfacing things? I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm back. I'm here.
Oh, good.
And there's a lot to talk about. There are so many things happening, Jason. There are so many things happening.
Are there?
Well,
I missed everything that happened from Saturday through Monday, so I don't even know.
I listened
know.
To you talking to Mike, so yeah, I heard you get the rundown.
Yeah.
There's a few things that have happened. It's been a week.
I have AirPods Pro.
Guess what, Jason?
Oh.
I also have AirPods
Pro.
Oh,
you caved. You did it. You monster.
I literally went to the Apple store about 2 hours ago when it opened, and I bought a pair.
Oh.
And I have basically, you know, walked around the block and listened to, watched an episode of Apple TV Plus on my iMac.
Another thing that happened, yes.
Indeed. Indeed. Like I said, a lot has happened this week.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to buy. I kind of went back and forth on the AirPods Pro thing, and I'm currently operating under the, like, I'm going to try it out for, you know, a week or two, and if I don't like them, I'll return them.
Right.
But I have to say immediately that I've been impressed with them. I didn't own the original AirPods because I never really felt like they worked great for me. And I think these are better. At least in terms of my ears. They're not perfect, but they're pretty good. I still feel like I appreciate that it has the thing where it tests and tells you whether or not you've got a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I ended up using the whatever it started with, medium in both ears, but I still feel like my left ear has a better fit than my right ear, but I tried switching the sizes and it actually told me you don't have a good fit now.
Interesting.
So I think it's just a thing with, you know, I think my ears are slightly different shapes or something, as are most of ours, I imagine. So I feel like it always feels like the right might fall out. It doesn't. It just feels like maybe it's just not got as quite as good a seal there.
Huh.
But it's, I mean, the sound is impressively good for things that small.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, a little muddy in some places. I didn't find it quite as clear as some of the other headphones I have, but it was still pretty solid. The bass, pretty good for something that small. I do think it feels better than a lot of the other silicone-tipped earbuds I have used in the past, and I don't know if that's down to that vent or whatever that they have, but I feel like I don't get quite as much vibration. In terms of, like, I still notice it. Like, if I'm walking around, I can kind of hear my footfalls. I can
sure.
feel the vibration in my ears. But, like, it's not as pronounced and not as distracting as I've noticed in other earbuds. And I don't know if the noise cancellation helps with that a little bit, too. It just, like, it amps up the sound enough and makes the sound so clear that I'm not focusing as much on the vibrations. I will also say I tried the switching between noise cancellation and transparency a bunch. And I could tell the difference, but it wasn't as pronounced as I thought it was going to be. I was walking around today and it's very windy here today. And I did notice that when I turned noise cancellation on that it was less noticeable, but maybe just because it's so windy, I could still hear the wind in both cases. But I could feel the effects of noise cancellation, just like when I put on my QC35, you know, Bose headphones, and you can sort of get that vacuumy feel. Doesn't bother me. I know Mike said he doesn't like that, but, like, for me, it doesn't really have an effect
yeah.
on me, but I could feel that it was there.
I like, so I have what generally use what is amusingly called passive noise canceling, which is actually literally we just plug something in your ear.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Right.
Because I've been using custom molds for years now,
which are
the shape of the inside of my ear. So just as noise canceling, active noise canceling does an opposite waveform of the sound to cancel it out. My ear tips are the opposite shape of my ears, thereby canceling all sound out that can't reach it down there. Anyway, just trying to make a metaphor there. Anyway, so for me, I've had this experience where I'm really isolated from sound. Most of the time I have headphones on. So my AirPod experience, my original AirPods experience was fascinating because occasionally people would say, you know, I'm amazed that you walk around in those because, you know, can you not hear anything? And I would say, oh my God, I can hear everything. Like, because in comparison, it is shocking how much clearer it is. But with the transparency mode in the AirPod Pro, you get even more of that. And of course, it's blocking naturally by filling your ear. It's blocking more sound. So it's trying to give you a pass-through mode, which is good. I bought my first pair of noise-canceling headphones, like active noise-canceling headphones, last year, the Sonys, mostly because when I'm flying, what I realized is that I have some inner ear issues that are that I think are caused in part by the fact that I use these in-ear headphones, and that means that there's bad pressure equalization and pressure builds up on the inside. So I bought these over-ear headphones. I am intrigued to see how the AirPods Pro work on an airplane, but I don't have a plane. I don't have a flight scheduled anytime soon, so I don't know whether they're going to be good enough for that or not. But I, you know, in terms of comfort, I would much rather use some earbuds than the cans that go over your head. Even though I'm sure those are better at isolation.
I've always been an over-ear headphone pro. Like, I wear my normal daily wear headphones are a pair of Cosporta Pros, which are just like, you know, kind of like your old Walkman headphones, right?
Yeah.
Like they just go over your ears, and that's fine. Like, so I'm used to having stuff where the outside world blends, you know, through, which is fine. It doesn't bother me, and I like having that awareness of what's going on around me. But yeah, it's certainly, I will say, compared to the QC35s, which I'm fine with. Doesn't bother me. They are heavy, and I've worn them on really long flights, and it can get annoying after several hours. But I will say the AirPods impressed me with how light they are. Like, again, as someone who doesn't wear earbuds, I was just sort of sitting around with them. It's like, I kind of forget I'm wearing headphones. And that is, it's a different feeling for me. And also, these are a little bit smaller. I don't know how they actually stack up weight-wise to the old AirPods.
I think they're heavier, but they're smaller.
Yeah, but they're small. Right. The stems aren't as long. Yeah. So I did find them pretty unobtrusive. I'm going to try this afternoon to go over to a coffee shop with those and the QC35s and just sort of see comparatively, informally, how they do. But yeah, I don't know. I've been impressed so far. We'll see how it goes after a week or so. My biggest concern with these things, not having had them before, is just like one of them will fall out, I'll lose it or something like that, or I'll break it. But fingers crossed that I can actually take care of them. I do like the case, which is kind of cute. I was trying it out. I have a wireless charger on my desk, but it's an angled wireless charger. So if I just sit it on, like, normally on it, it doesn't charge. But if I turn it on the shorter edge, it does hit the charging point, apparently. So there you go. But yeah, I like that. I tried out the Ahoy telephone support, which worked pretty well. The one thing I'm not clear, again, I'm new to AirPods. In terms of like jumping back and forth between different devices, is it really like you still have to kind of manually choose your AirPods? If I go to my Mac, if they're paired, I just go over and I still have to like choose it as a sound output, presumably.
Don't use my AirPods on my Mac, but I assume so.
Okay. I haven't tried like jumping back and forth between all my different devices yet. I think I only have it on my phone and my Mac just because I was testing it out. But like, that's the biggest frustration I have with Bluetooth headphones is the Bluetooth is kind of, it's the lowest common denominator, right? Everything supports it, but it's kind of crappy. And so going back and forth between, there are some headphones that do it better than others. I think I talked about this on the Rebound this week, but like usually you have to go in and you have to like disconnect in like the Bluetooth settings and then go to your other device and choose connect, which is irritating.
Yes.
And clumsy. The Bose setup is pretty good because at least there's an app and you can like store all the things that you've connected to and then just switch them on and off, but it can only be connected to two at a time. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, but it's like kind of making the best of a bad situation. So I'm kind of hoping the AirPods improve that experience a little bit. And it seems like they do. And the other thing that I'm really excited to try out at some point, although it probably won't come up in the next 2 weeks before my return period is up, is the audio sharing. Because my wife has, we just bought her a new pair of the Beats X.
Ah, yes.
Yes, because she likes those and her old ones broke. So we bought her a new set, but that those will now be compatible. Mm-hmm. And this is like an issue we had when we were flying on our honeymoon this summer, was trying to find a way we could both watch something on the iPad and both listen to it when we're using wireless headphones.
Exactly.
And it turns out
you can't.
It's a pain,
but you can do it.
I have a little, well, and also I have a little dongle basically that's like a transmitter and you can plug it in wired, but it's annoying. And I couldn't remember how it worked on the first flight we were on and I didn't have the instructions. So I was sitting there being like, I know I can make this work. I just don't know what buttons and how long I have to hold the button and all that. So yeah, that was a pain. So this seems like it could be a lot nicer solution to that.
Yeah. Well, I've used that feature and it's good. It is definitely easier to move AirPods between Apple devices than regular Bluetooth devices doing the same thing. But on the Mac, I think the Mac, although it's gotten better, is still not as friendly as the iOS devices.
I just picked it from the audio drop down, like it was, you know, switching between my external speakers and my mic headphone. It wasn't hard. It was just, you know, took a step.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's I like them. I'm not entirely sure that I find them as comfortable as the original AirPods. I mean, honestly, the original AirPods are like this too. You wear any set of headphones after a few hours,
it
is not, you know, it will start to bug me, and I can feel that happen with these. I think I can last a little bit longer in regular AirPods, but, you know, the regular AirPods do it to me too. Even the customs, after a while, you're like, I got to get these things out of my ears, right? Like, and then my ears get all sweaty when I've got, like, the Sony ones on. So they all have their issues.
I bought a set, when I was upgrading my podcasting setup a few years back, I bought some headphones that Marco really liked, and I don't remember now which ones they were, but they were, you know, expensive. But I was like, well, you know, he says these are really, really good. I'm going to buy them. And they were just so heavy. And so my ears, I had that, the sweating ears and like feeling like my head was being clamped. And like, I was like, no, can't do these. So that's why I wear just a pair of those Sony MDR monitors. Like, there's a reason that pros have been using these things for years, is like, they're actually pretty solid. They're pretty comfortable and pretty good sound. They're not like the best headphones you can ever buy, but they work really well for what they do.
But I think these new AirPods Pro are going to be successful. I'm glad that the other ones exist because they're cheaper and not everybody likes the fit. Like, everybody's fit is different. I did get a tidbit from my briefing with Apple that I thought was, they didn't quite phrase it this way, but I'm going to rephrase it because this is the impression I got. So I'll just put that out there, that this is not, they didn't say it this way, but I get the impression that for AirPods, which means really for EarPods, that Apple did some ear measurement of like people to try to get an idea of like what ears were shaped like. And what they told me was for this product, for AirPods Pro, they did a whole lot more ear measurement. And the way they phrased it was, we measured many more ears of many more people all over the world because our products are sold all over the world. And and they just sort of like went on with their briefing. And I had that moment where I thought to myself, I think this might be a little bit like when we talk about machine learning and AI making great mistakes because of the lack of diversity in the sample size in Silicon Valley. I got the implication from what they said that in the past, Apple designed headphones based on a universal fit that was the universe of people around them, and that for this product, they updated their database of what the range of ear shape is. And that's good, right? Because I mean, because the truth is they do need to sell their products all over the world. And if they're if you're basing it on the people in Silicon Valley, you may not really be getting the entire kind of diversity of human body shape and size and other attributes. So I thought that was an interesting little thing. And it's not going to fit everybody, but I feel like it's going to be more flexible in the long run. It'll be interesting to see what third parties do, because it's also a new connector type. I don't know. I mean, if you fiddled around with it, which you did, you know, there are these little ovals, and they don't the way that most of these silicone headphones work is there's a hard plastic thing that protrudes out, and you basically have a thing that's a ring that's the tip, and you slide it on. And that's how it works. And they said that hard plastic thing hurts people's ears and it's bad. So we've invented our new thing. And their new thing is this. It's an oval shape, so it can only go on in one orientation. And it clicks. It clicks off and clicks on.
It's like a ring kind of thing.
Which means it's going to be a while before people start making knockoff ear tips. But I am interested to see what, you know, somebody's going to create a knockoff ear tip that fills every single cubic millimeter of space in the charging case volume, because you know it's not a super tight fit like the old AirPods, because you can have these differently shaped soft squishy ear tips there. But it will happen, and you know, maybe that will allow people to create some interesting ear tips that fit it better. I don't know.
I you know, part of me had always wished that Apple would make a pair of over-ear headphones, but I kind of think that's what they see Beats as, essentially.
I mean, there's that rumor about
over studio wireless
something that would be an Apple branded thing, but the Beats stuff is right there too. So the Beats stuff essentially is an Apple product, right? Like they're using the same chips and everything.
Yep, it's just it really is more of a style branding difference than anything, and that's, you know, I don't.
Yeah, they have colors in Beats World.
Yeah, I know. In Beats World, it's not just black and white. It's like in the Wizard of Oz, right? It's the jump to Oz. Everything's in color now.
Yeah. While I was cleaning out my office, I found one of my souvenirs of WWDC was having completed the Apple Escape Room. You get the Apple coloring book.
Yes.
which is, and a white pen, white crayon, because everything is white.
Yep.
So yeah, it's just your AirPods Pro. They fit right in there. So yeah, I had no power. There are some AirPods came out. That was exciting. Yep. Apple did their results.
Yes,
they had their biggest fourth quarter, again, kind of a snooze of a quarter, because everybody's talking about the holiday quarter, which is next, fourth fiscal quarter. But it was their biggest one ever, which is nice.
Yep.
And their guidance for next quarter is somewhere between kind of mildly up from next year and their best quarter of all time. But you know, that's a $4 billion range there.
It was a big swing. I noticed that when I looked at the guidance. I felt like that was much... I felt like it was larger than they usually...
I don't know. They sometimes do guide that widely, but it's a big thing where at the top of the range, they're gonna have their best quarter ever.
Right.
And at the bottom of the range, it's like... I don't know, 4% growth over last year or something like that.
Yeah,
but it, you know, so much of their contextualization of their results these days is, but look, everywhere but iPhone, we did great.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, the things that stood out to me, and we both wrote a little bit about this in Macworld this week. The thing that stood out to me was wearables, 54% up.
Yep.
Year over year. That's big. I mean, it's not the biggest of Apple's businesses to begin with, but it is, you know, I think they said it's the size of a Fortune 500 company, I can't remember which one. But anyway, they threw out a lot of Fortune numbers, various points, but it's like it made $6 billion or something. And it the fact that it grew so much when there isn't necessarily
generated more annual revenue than two-thirds of the companies in the Fortune 500.
Yeah, that's I mean, for a category that did not essentially exist for them 5 years ago, that's pretty impressive. And it sounds like it's mainly being driven by AirPods, Apple Watch, and Beats seem to be the insinuation I got from it, though it does include home and accessories.
Right.
Nobody was talking up the HomePod.
No.
Put it that way. This is about the Apple Watch and about AirPods majorly, I suspect, and Beats, you know, I think Beats well, too, but I don't think Apple considers that as much of a core again, we were just talking about it. It's a different brand. It's even though it's theirs, I always feel like it kind of gets a little bit like we're not gonna focus on that as much. But I think the Apple Watch in particular with the Series 5, that was a big improvement for a lot of people. And I think you called out that like half of the people were new. You know, half of the people at Apple Watch were new people about Apple Watches or something, or more, 3/4, I think, actually. That one was really high. It was half of iPad users were new iPad users. I think 3/4 of Apple Watch buyers were new Apple Watch buyers, which, again, is a lot. And it's not like, you know, we never got unit numbers on the Apple Watch, so we never knew how well they sold, other than the vaguely qualitative descriptions they would occasionally give. But if you're jumping up that much in a quarter, that feels like some pretty substantial inroads.
Yeah. Yeah. So today, Apple TV Plus came out. You mentioned it earlier. I haven't watched anything yet. But here's, and you can, everybody's, you know, ideally it knows, like the Apple IDs know what you've bought. And I opened the TV app and I was just offered sign up for a year for free. And I did that. And the way it works, for those who don't know, is you're, and Apple talked about this in the conference call with analysts this week too. And that's what I wanted to talk about. But just to set the stage here, the way it works is if you bought an Apple product, a qualifying Apple product since September something, you get a year of Apple TV Plus for free. But what you're really getting is you're signing up for an Apple TV Plus monthly subscription. Mm-hmm. The first year is free. Cancel anytime you like. The moment you cancel, you're out. Mm-hmm. And a year from now, you will be charged a monthly fee, and every month thereafter, that's how this works. Talking to analysts, they're asking about this because they want to know the strategy. Mm-hmm. And of course, Wall Street, they're like, why are you giving things away, right? Because that's part of the implication is, what is your strategy to give a product away that you're spending billions of dollars on? And I thought that the way that they phrased it was fascinating. Tim Cook twice referred to this as a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift to our users.
From heaven.
And from a business point of view, very quickly to backpedal, we're proud of the content. But what he said is, I think it's a bold move. You know, don't strain yourself patting yourself on the back there, Tim. and that the price is, you know, $4.99 a month. The price is amazing. Anyway, what... They walk a line here where, and I'm going to write a piece about this. I've got the document open with all the quotes right now. Apple walks the line when they're talking to the analyst. They want to send signals that are positive in terms of how they're going to do their business strategy without getting caught in, and because they know people are watching and being pointed to and saying, look what Apple's doing here. They're, you know, like with services revenue, this has always been the thing, is they're always very diligent about saying, we think our customers love these services and they're great. And services revenue is also very important and it provides us a constant revenue stream, et cetera, et cetera. So on this call, Tim Cook at one point says, you know, we're growing, we have an install base. The most important thing is that our customers are happy. That is always our top objective. And also ARPU is increasing. And I had not heard Tim actually say ARPU before. So this is average revenue per user. But I thought it was really telling that that's the way that they phrased it, is, look, making our customers happy is by far our top priority. And we're going to get more money out of every customer. Like,
yeah,
of course, that's the strategy. But they're like, but here's how we're going to do it. We're going to make them happy, and they're going to give us their money because they're so happy. And there's going to be more money from every one of them over time. Because ARPU, when people talk about ARPU, it is a red flag usually, because it really is just like, we're going to boil the frog. We're going to grind as much money out of our users as we possibly can. And it's generally coinciding with business practices that are not great. It's a lot of nickel and diming and adding new fees and basically treating each customer as a little ATM that you can get money out of. And so for Apple to mention it is a little bit disquieting for me, but at the same time, I kind of appreciate that they're like so diligent about like delight, happy customers, making great things for our customers. That's the primary objective. And ARPU will increase as a result. It's like, okay, all right.
I think ARPU hangs out with Calendar. I think that's
ARPU
that's
is
part of the pantheon.
ARPU is the enemy of Calendar.
Oh,
we're making
no.
canon right here. ARPU is the worst.
They're engaged in an eternal battle.
Yes, ARPU, an eternal struggle. If you view Kalendar as a creature that eats time, poops time, I'm not sure what. Both, possibly. I don't know.
Well, I mean, human minds,
this is all canon, Dan. This is great. Human minds don't really understand how Kalendar works. How could we? ARPU, I think, is very clear that what the thing that ARPU consumes / excretes is money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Does he not eat joy? He doesn't eat joy and excrete money? That's not his move?
Some believe that's true, Dan.
Yeah. So there are some theological debates about this.
Anyway, so Apple walking a line there, right? Apple TV Plus, they're like, we think this is great. We want people to enjoy it. In the most Apple way possible, they declared it the first all original streaming service, which is their most positive way to pump up the fact that we don't have a catalog.
We have no catalog.
It's just this stuff. But behind that is, and it's great and it's a gift and it's wonderful. And then that last sentence is, also, we're collecting all these people and putting them on the subscription track, and if they don't cancel in a year, they're just going to start giving us our money because the first year is free, and after that, money. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's an interesting flip for them too. Just in so often, all of the services that when Apple first started using, the iTunes Store and stuff, it was always to drive hardware purchases, and now they're giving the service away with hardware purchases, which is similar. But it's not quite the same.
No, it's very much a first one's free thing, which is like they don't have a big catalog right now of stuff.
Sure.
People are interested in it. You give it to them for free. And the idea there is that they will eventually, as a thank you, as a gift for buying new hardware, and eventually they will like it enough that they're not going to want to give it up, basically.
Right. And I mean, it's also the only move they can make when they have, eight shows. Right, a lot of people are not necessarily going to, especially when they're dropping stuff on a weekly basis for the most part, people are not necessarily going to sign up and wait to see if stuff gets good, hand over money and assume like, well, there's 8 shows, how much am I paying per show, like what am I actually getting out of this, what shows do I actually like? They've got a year now to essentially build their catalog to the point when people have a chance to make that decision, they actually have a much more robust set of value propositions, essentially.
And so, presumably, second seasons of shows will start rolling out, and they'll be like, come on, you want to see what happens next on the show you liked?
Yeah.
You got to stick with it.
And there'll be a lot to, they'll have a chance to refine. They'll have heard the reviews, they'll have ratings and reactions and all that, so they can decide to tweak things. They'll know what people watched, right?
I mean, there's the reviews, but there's also like, what did people actually watch? What they'll have that detail that Netflix has, where they'll know who sampled an episode, who got all the way through it, what all of those different numbers are, and what that means in terms of success.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a new dawn of a new day today. We're not going to rebrand ourselves again as the Six Color Secret Subscriber Podcast Plus, although we could do that.
Yeah, I will say I've watched 2 episodes of The Morning Show. I don't know why that I was intrigued, and it was the thing I was in the mood for this morning, and it was also the thing I wasn't. Both Dickinson and For All Mankind are things I think my wife might be interested in, so I wanted to give her a chance to watch the first episodes of those. I wasn't sure she felt as strongly about The Morning Show, and it just seemed appealing. I cannot for the life of me. I will watch C, but it is the bottom of my list. And the reviews have kind of been all over the place. I enjoyed it. I put myself on the record as somebody who enjoyed The Newsroom. I watched all of it. I like the behind the scenes show. I'm a big Sports Night fan too. This is not as well written as in terms of Aaron Sorkin writes really good dialogue. Say what you will about any of his other proclivities for writing things. He knows how to turn a phrase. And this is probably not up to that level in terms of just like, really well constructed dialogue, whatever, but it's certainly not bad, I would say. I was intrigued enough that when I finished the first episode, I was like, I kind of want to see where they're going with this. So I watched the second one. I'm still kind of in. I'll definitely watch the third one that's up right now, and we'll see how that goes. I think there's some interesting choices here, and I'm not sure where they're going with it. And some of the reviews and other reactions I've seen, I think, align with me a little more in that department of, like, how exactly are we handling this fundamental premise that this is, you know, somebody kind of caught up in, like, the Me Too movement. I think that is it's an interesting place for Apple to position itself with probably what is its most prominently marketed show. I'm not sure what the message of this is yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a really great cast. This is one of those shows where you keep turning around and you're being like, the cast in this show is, oh my God, it's them for this like one bit, like, not to spoil anything, but Jack Davenport shows up and I was like, Jack Davenport's in this, like, as a supporting character. And I just had all these moments of like, oh that person. And I do want to give special credit. I do think the most enjoyable character on the show, even though he's kind of odious, is Billy Crudup's character, who is the network president. Billy Crudup's just one of those guys who you've seen him in a ton of things. And he's usually pretty solid. Like, he plays a certain kind of character really well, I feel like. I'm kind of enjoying his character. I will keep watching it. I'm intrigued enough. And For All Mankind is certainly really high on my list of the one I've really wanted to watch. But I will definitely have to see if my wife has any interest in that before I jump in.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm most interested in, too.
Yeah.
But I should probably not. It's one of those things where I really want to watch it, but I realize if I watch it, I'm going to have to watch it a second time. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. So.
Well,
yeah.
This is the world we live in now where there's Apple TV shows.
Apple TV shows.
They're there.
Yeah, they got their San Francisco font credit and everything.
Oh, I will say the thing that got me in the morning show that made me roll my eyes a bit is within the first 30 seconds, so many iPhones, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
So many iPhones. And I'm trying to remember what the other thing was. There's a part where Steve Carell's character, you know, picks up his phone and it's just a whole bunch of Apple News alerts. And I'm like, nah, I don't believe that anybody uses Apple News.
No. You've gone too far, morning show.
Sorry, you've broken me out of the verisimilitude.
This is not believable. Well, the thing that I noticed. Let me see if I can get it here live. Is this? That's how every show starts. Is with that? That is a special Apple TV version cover version. Is it a cover? I don't know. Of the, you know, of the
remix?
C chord. It is a startup chime. And that delighted me. I thought, yeah.
I didn't even put that together. But that is, yeah. Now, as soon as you played it, I knew exactly what you were.
It's a startup chime. The Apple TV, the whatever they call that, that's before the credits start to roll. It's their little
Stinger,
production logo. It's a startup chime.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. Well, we've learned a lot here today, Dan.
Maybe too much.
Is there something else? I don't know. Anyway, I lost power for 3 days and that sucked. That's the short version of it. That was bad.
The only other thing was something that happened, I think, right before we started recording, which is Google buying Fitbit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting move.
You can buy it or you can invent it. I guess those are your choices. And Google
They tried to invent it.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't gone great for them.
No. And Fitbit has been successful, right? It's like Apple Watch and Fitbit are really the successes, not any of the Android watches.
My only concern with them buying Fitbit is that they might lose it in their couch cushions. It's a possibility.
I mean, everybody's still trying to find Nest, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems smart because I feel like Fitbit has probably not done super well post Apple Watch. I feel like that's been a hard comparison for them. I think, you know, they're probably doing fine, but like they certainly lost their top of the heap cachet, which they definitely had for a few years there. And so teaming up with putting Google's money behind it could be good, but yeah, the Nest thing is a good point in terms of just like how do these things, Google likes to subsume these things and it doesn't always go well. I think that's interesting to see how they will treat Fitbit and if they will stick with what they've felt was working. And I don't know. I haven't used a Fitbit device in years. I know some people, our friend Scott McNulty, I think, is a Fitbit aficionado, though I think I saw he just bought an Apple Watch, too. So
he did.
See? Losing people out of
maybe at the advice of his doctor, but, you know, but still, haha, I'll take it. There yeah, no, Fitbit, right? And this is, I think Fitbit is the only product that I've heard from people who don't have Apple Watches that they liked. Like, really, that's the other one, and that they have a variety of different things. It's good. It's a smart move for Google. There was a report, the information says that Facebook was also talking to them. Mm-hmm. And offered, I guess, half of what Google did. So Google was like, no, we'll take it. We'll back the money truck up right now, and here's your money. And that's fine, because Facebook should not buy anything, ever.
Yeah. Ever. I mean, not that I'm super thrilled with Google having access to all that either, but they're better than Facebook. I'm not going to argue that point.
Yep. For sure.
We've tagged your heartbeat.
Anyway, yeah.
Busy week.
Yeah, what a week. There's another one. So, yeah.
What?
I know.
I didn't sign up
it
for this.
It keeps going. Well, maybe your power will go out and then it'll be fine.
You know, a lot of people lost power because it was super windy here overnight.
Yep. But
we are in a weird place where that doesn't usually happen.
Yeah.
We're sheltered.
It's good. All right. Well, welcome back to the Secret Podcast. And as far as I can tell, we'll be back next week if Calendar is willing and the creek don't rise and the power is on. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.